You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show, Mad Men Season 5 finale entitled The Phantom. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by producer extraordinaire Phil Svitek.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be back.
Yes, we are glad to be back. Thank you. In the booth is Big Ben Bottomley. Say hi, Ben.
Yo.
Okay, thank you, Ben. And our special guest is, well, you've seen her in shows from CSI New York all the way to Desperate Housewives. She stars as Jennifer Knight in Big Time Rush. She's an executive producer as well. The lovely and talented and much sought after Challen Cates. Please say hello to our audience.
Hi, how are you?
There we go. We're very happy to have
Ben,
you.
Ben, we don't get applause for her?
Yeah, where's the thing? Come on, Ben, gotta get on that.
Where's the applause button?
Ben.
Oh, Ben, just clap for crying out loud. There you go. Thank you very much.
There it is.
We're late on that. We'll get right on that. So, okay, in this episode, finale, season finale, we have what are the storylines? We've got Don gets a visit from the past. We have company's revenues are up. Megan gets a gig, and Pete gets clocked. I think we should start with Pete. I find this guy should never start a fight ever in his life again. Lane beats him up. Howard beats him up. Even the conductor beats him up. I don't think this guy is really good at fighting at all.
I think that's also a metaphor for his life.
Yeah, I mean,
he has ambition, but he just doesn't know how to fight for what he actually wants, and in fact, he doesn't know what he wants.
He doesn't know how to fight either in any way, shape, or form, whether physical or even fighting for what he wants.
That's true.
So the most interesting thing for me about the storyline is the way they dealt with Beth and that relationship, because I thought that was just sad and tragic.
So tragic. He finally falls in love.
Yes.
He finally is revealing
his
feelings, and she has no recollection.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so tragic. And it's so Pete, because everything in Pete's life sucks.
But let me ask you this. I mean, in terms of that, was it just... I mean, you know, earlier in this season, Cooper spoke to Roger about, like, oh, you're already getting divorced on your second marriage and all that. And so could this just, in terms of Beth, have been another marriage that he, you know, ironically, fate put a stop to it, because it would just been, like, another thing that he would have fallen in love with, figured out, like, the household thing, and then it just would have led to gloom and doom all over again. And this would have been, as he said, the bandage on a big wound.
Exactly. Yeah, the temporary bandage on a permanent wound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they never deal with the issue. They just figure, oh, I'll just find happiness over here, forgetting that they're just carrying everything with them to that experience. So, yeah, it's going to be the exact same thing over and over. So, and tragic.
Very tragic.
But I thought Alex was great. I'm sorry, Alexis Bledel.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Exquisite. And, yeah, it was so heartbreaking that he finally realizes, you know, and that he even, she's sort of like another, I know the episode is called Phantom, but she sort of becomes this phantom.
Yes.
He has this desire to throw his life away with Trudy and Tammy and go to California with Beth.
Yeah. She does represent the phantom woman in his life that'll make everything better. So, she is the phantom in his life. Oh, gosh. And, you know, when he's on the phone, he was so snide with her the whole time. I like the way he was playing that. And you know, as soon as she calls, you know he's going to go. And he knows he's going to go. But he plays at the thing. He pushes the desk. He's all angry about the whole thing. Treats her a little, you know. And well, then why did you show up? I just liked all that, too.
I mean, I also liked when he did show up and he said, you know, you expected me or why? Because I'm pathetic and things like that.
Yeah. But the most revealing thing was not only that he was fell in love, but the way he talked to her after all that happened. And, you know, when she obviously doesn't remember who he is, she's already been through an electroshock.
It's the most likable he has ever been.
Yes, because he's finally authentic.
Right. And tragic.
And authentic by talking about, quote, his friend.
Right.
That's the only way he can actually reveal himself is by putting it in a third-person situation.
And talking with someone who has no idea what he's talking about.
So there's no consequence for me being honest.
Yeah.
I don't have to live with that consequence.
Right.
What a chicken.
Oh.
Yeah, and tragic, too. It's like, really? Yeah. You couldn't have done that earlier?
But now he's admitted it to himself.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Now that he's admitted it, what is he going to do? Is he going to compartmentalize that, just put that away? No, that never happened. And be in denial about that as he is about everything else, or what? Or do you think he'll actually deal with that? Nothing? No?
I think he'll get that apartment in the city.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. That was the little thing he got out of that.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, when Trudy says, "I think you're right," did the look on his face like, "Oh shit, what was I right about? Are we breaking up?"
That was a scary moment.
Yeah, I think he had that look on his face.
And I think he hit it quite on the head today. You know, she had the drawing of the pool and all that, and he said that looks awfully permanent. I think he just doesn't like permanence.
Well, then he used the same term when he's talking about the wound. He knows he has a permanent wound.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a clue on how to address that, how to resolve it, how to deal with it at all. He's just not equipped to.
Yeah.
So, I also thought it was interesting how when they had their partner meeting. And they were having to vote, and they're going through the whole Roberts Rules of Orders, and Joan being very on task, and he's so anxious to get out of there. I think my favorite line of the show was, he says, "Don, you have my proxy, I'm out of here." And Don goes, "We can do that?" He has no clue that's a possibility. So. Well, I don't know what else to say about Pete. I just felt really bad for him.
I did too. I mean,
And the other thing I thought was strange is... You know, the electric shock thing, it was fairly common. I mean, not common. I shouldn't say that. But they did do that.
Yeah.
And then I thought that real visual at the end there when he's listening on the headphones,
mm-hmm.
I swear to you, that to me, the first time I saw it, I went, it looked like, because they put the ear things. That's how they used to put the electric shock through those things on your head. And
oh.
It almost looked like that's the parallel they were making.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was interesting,
hmm.
because you know she's talking when they were in the hotel room together, and she says because we have the same problem, and I forgot what he said. It was because they were both in love with each other, and then she goes, "Oh, then we don't have the same problem," and she's talking about him being depressed.
Yeah,
he's got depression like crazy. When the whole permanence, and there's nothing that's going to fill that, and she realizes that, and he doesn't have a clue about it. So that's anyway. I thought, did anybody get that?
No, I couldn't figure out the head. I was wondering if we were going to hear what he was listening to, and then I remembered that Trudy doesn't like for him to listen to the stereo.
Oh, wow, I didn't even remember that. Wow, nice pull.
Well, she doesn't, but then she says, you know, it's okay for you to, you know, you to do it, and he doesn't like to do it, but she allowed him to do it in last episode or the episode before that.
It just, for me, it reminded me of Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over Cuckoo's Nest.
Right.
When they put that thing on, I went, that's what it looked like for a second. I went, I wonder if, and I didn't know, I don't know if they're making that reference or if that's what they wanted us to kind of get a hint at, but that's where it went with
me. It's amazing that was ever a therapy.
Yeah. And sometimes effective, I don't know. Hmm. Well, if I can forget some things, that would be nice.
Speaking of truth, I mean, you know, in the preview or whatever you call it, the recaps.
Yeah, recap last week.
You know, they show that scene where he confesses, quote unquote, to the husband of Beth,
but Howard.
But he thought it was a joke,
right?
And then today, finally, the truth does come out in that regard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you at least did have a slight truthful moment today.
Yeah, very truthful, but through rage. And I love they have great scenes on this train. This train gets a lot of work.
I know, it does.
You know, they built that damn set. We're going to use it as much as we can. What's that?
Well, because it also, for him, it symbolizes that he's not in control. He can't, you know, especially like the whole car thing, him with the car. He's not good at driving a car.
Right.
Therefore, he's not good at driving his life anywhere.
Uh-huh.
He has to be taken there and back.
And now the one thing he can rely on to get places he gets kicked off of. So even that underpinning is taken away. So, and by the way, I thought the fight looked really authentic because these look like horrible fighters. Like they've never really fought in their lives.
Yeah.
It was really bad. And Howard, but Howard gets the best of him, of course. And it was, I thought Howard, I forgot the gentleman's name that portrays him. Look that up for us, will you, Ben? But when he realizes, oh my God, it's you. So then he clearly knows the one Beth's been pining over these last few months that she's trying to get out of her head. And I just go, oh my God, he was so close. And again, it just goes, just get the tragedy gets deeper, deeper, and you just, I don't know about you, I felt really sorry for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what to say about Pete. I feel bad for him. Anything else about Pete?
I think that's it for me.
It's amazing because it's usually so hard to be sympathetic.
I know, that's the thing. I go, they just want to, you know, because he's such a schmuck. He's smarmy. And even in this one, he was too. But then that just because they had that one scene.
One moment.
It's very, you know, Matthew Weiner, and I forgot who was the co-writer on that. But they really were able to extract some sort of humanity out of him in a way that completely felt authentic and genuine. And you went, okay, he is a human after all. I can't feel for him.
Jeff Clark.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
That's good. All right, so before we move on to the next topic, we want to talk about Amazon. So this is a program we started here at AfterBuzz. So by the way, thank you very much for everybody who's participated. When you go to AfterBuzzTV.com, you'll see that we have an Amazon.com banner. So click on that. So whenever you're making your purchases online, go to AfterBuzzTV first. Then click Amazon.com and make your purchases. And Amazon is a thank you to us. We'll give us a little something to keep our lights on here. So we thank you for doing that.
It's been really cool. We've seen a really good number of results from you guys, and it continues to grow. And again, it could be literally anything that you guys are buying. And instead of going to Amazon directly, just go through us, and it's great. And it helps us out. It's a win-win-win. That's what we call this thing, win-win-win.
I wonder if you can buy wine on Amazon.com. Do you know anything about that? I was just wondering. Maybe there's a certain company that might sell. All right, so moving on. Let's talk about Megan and Marie. I love Julia Ormond as Megan's mother. She's such a wonderfully disaffected mom. She's done with her mothering. She has just the line's like, I'm so glad my children aren't my life, my own life.
Right.
It's like she's such a warm, fuzzy mom.
Mm-hmm.
She is, but she does make a good point to Nan.
Oh, she makes like a ton of good points.
Yeah.
Yeah, she left. When she left me, she was happy. And it's your job now.
Right.
I mean, every line she was saying to Don was great. The whole thing about was the line about how nurse her through advice, this defeat, and you'll live a happy life.
Oh, you'll have the wife you want.
Yeah, exactly. I say, and how it's horrible to have an artist's.
Artist passion, but
not be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I can remember what the line is.
I have it somewhere,
They give
too.
Her so many of the great lines tonight.
Oh, I know. And I love the lines in French, too.
I know, yeah. You were really admiring her French accent, too. Would you love to play this role?
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. I think her French dialect is incredible.
Yeah, she's really
awesome.
Good. She's really good. By the way, speaking of that, of all the characters, which one would you like to do most?
Oh, Joan.
Yeah?
Howard.
Yeah, really? Well, okay, but why?
Joan, she's amazing. She's she's strong and she's also vulnerable. She's sexy and desirable. She's smart. She's had a great arc to her character from the very beginning. I mean, now she has power.
Yeah, she's one of the partners now.
Yeah.
She is bringing it back.
All right, she's bringing it back.
I don't know.
All right, so that was a little detour. We'll talk more about that in a sec. But, okay, so,
Speaking of the dialogue, I really liked how she was able to go back and forth and really use it to the best of her advantage.
Oh, right. My God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Roger. Mm-hmm. By the way, how great was that Roger's the one that's been calling the obscene phone caller?
Yeah.
Who else would be the obscene phone caller in the cast but Roger?
That was good.
Yeah, it was a good reveal. I didn't see it coming. And again, I thought the other thing was great. The first time he talks to her, you know, and she starts speaking French to him, and he goes,
That's all
French I know. What's Regina?
That was hilarious. He is so funny.
He's horribly funny. And horribly is the word I'm specifically. Yeah,
incredibly.
He's horribly funny. So, and how great it was. And again, great lines to him when they're in the bed together. Their rods are finally in the bed together, and he says, you know, don't stop being demure. You're already on the bed. Mm-hmm. And the only thing she cares about is, please don't make me take care of you. She's done being the caretaker. She wants to have her own life now. Mm-hmm. And she's just done with it. She was done with it with Megan, clearly. She'd said it in I don't know how many different ways. And she's just not interested in being that role for anybody anymore. Which I thought, well, that's very progressive. Mm-hmm. So what would you think about that?
She's also done taking care of her husband, too.
Yeah, she's clearly not interested in that.
Yeah.
So...
I love that the scene with Roger and Marie was I think it was the only scene because obviously there are a lot of doors opening and closing in the show.
Yes.
And it was the double doors
bursting
busted
through.
Open and they fall into the bed. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Symbolism? What could that represent? I don't know, but
for me it was interesting.
Lost.
It was interesting for me how he said Roger was talking about Lane and suicide.
Yeah.
And you got to know that you're going to a better place.
Yeah.
And so far, out of all these people, she's the one who's most open about her faith. You know, she's here with Megan because it's Easter.
Uh-huh.
The father's an atheist. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. She's trying to find a better place, trying to get rid of all these
terrible people. In name only. I mean, she doesn't really seem like she's doing much in terms of resurrection or Easter.
All right.
I mean, unless she's trying to resurrect some unbridled passion or something, I'm not exactly sure what she's trying to resurrect.
Oh, God.
But I do think that it wasn't really cruel, certainly frank with her daughter, because she calls her a bitch. She says, but here's the thing that was interesting. She was real careful because she said she was hopeless. She used the word hopeless, and then Megan looked
at
her.
And
she turned it around with hope. And, so she was aware enough, I shouldn't have said that or whatever. But then, later on, she's just saying, you're an ungrateful bitch. And
not every little girl gets to be what she wants.
Exactly. And,
there would be too many ballerinas.
Exactly. And it's true. I mean, it's completely frank and candid and absolutely true and a little tough.
How can you say that to your daughter?
I don't know, but that's what I find so fascinating about her. And the weird thing is, she's not interested in taking care of anybody anymore, and yet that's really what she's doing, because nobody else in Megan's life is telling her the truth. Because Don isn't, because there's an angle always with Don. It's like, he wants her to, of course I want you to have this, but he doesn't.
He doesn't.
So he's not being honest with
her. He knows what happens when you help people.
Exactly. Yes. And what is that?
They leave.
That's right. They get successful and they leave. And I just didn't think it would be without me.
Yeah. And so he helps her at the end.
Yes, he does. He does in the end. But then, we're getting ahead of ourselves. No, that's okay. It's okay. We do it all the time. That's why we have it up on the big board so we don't forget.
Make sure to bring that up. That is interesting.
Yeah, we'll make sure we do.
About that.
But I just found that again, I love that they have a character. They always have characters. Even Pete, who you just want to hate because he's such a smarmy guy, and then he does this. Marie, she is not willing to be the mother anymore, and yet she is actually doing something that would really help her child if her child was willing to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that Megan is.
Well, too. I mean,
really a child this episode.
She really was. I mean, and especially in the beginning, you shouldn't keep things from your husband. So in many ways, she's trying to teach her, avoid the mistakes that I've made in my marriage, perhaps.
Yeah.
And don't go down that road. Yeah. And then, I really love Megan, how, Julia, the friend, she wants the part.
Yeah.
Can you tell Don? And then just completely
go ahead.
No, I that caught me by surprise because I wasn't sure where she was going with it when she started asking Don for the opportunity to be seen for the part.
Yeah.
I thought she knew he was going to say no, and then she was going to say, oh, well, then maybe perhaps my friend.
Uh-huh.
But no. It was completely, it was purely selfish.
Absolutely all about her. So
yeah.
Wow. Just realized one more thing that was interesting about Marie. She doesn't want to take care of anybody. And yet the thing she does is when Don comes home, how's your tooth? She made soup.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very strange. It's a little thing like that. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. She's willing to do that.
It's just instinct.
Yeah. But I love that little tete-a-tete they had together, she and Don. Look, when, you know, we said it a few minutes ago, but the fact that she said, look, when she left me, she was a happy woman. Now it's she's yours to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal with her anymore.
She gives a lot of advice, doesn't she?
She sure does.
Well,
certainly unasked for, too.
I think there's people in this world that they just can't help but be responsible. And so unless someone steps up to the plate and is responsible, mm-hmm. then they're going to continue to do it by default. And I think that's the role that she's taken on. She doesn't want to do it, but no one else is willing to. And she's trying to now, you know, Don, who's supposed to be, you know, this role model, isn't. You know, and this leader, but he's certainly not the leader in the household.
Hmm.
Not when Murray's there.
But even when she's not there, I mean, he's in many ways, he's a terrible father when Sally was there.
Yeah.
All right, you're off of school tomorrow. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Don't get in trouble. That's not parenting.
Poor Sally.
Yeah, exactly. She's just a lost
cause. She's gonna be a mess.
Exactly. That's what I always was like, two poor kids. She just had, you know, there's nothing we could do. She was lost from the get-go.
Yeah.
She's born to these people. So, you know, what can we do? So, oh, God. Though, what was else? Oh, the fact that Roger wanted her to take acid. Was it acid or LSD? I can't remember which one it was.
LSD.
LSD. So he
same thing, isn't it?
I think so. But, you know, we're obviously not druggies
for you.
Well, okay, so there you go. Challenge Case is our expert on the drug experience. So what's ecstasy and how does it relate to, I don't know, help me out. All right, anyway, moving on. So what I wanted to talk about regarding that was last week, Don says to him, so what about your, what did he call it? What about your...
Your experience,
or did he call it what about
enlightenment?
Enlightenment, yeah. He goes, it wore off. Yeah, so now we finally get to see that actually he's missing it. He wants that right. experience again. He's missing that thing.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's why he's exposed.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. That's right. That's right.
And on behalf of Catherine Tulich, our other co-host,
yes, who's not here this week,
she says the girl part in her got really excited when she saw John Slattery.
Oh, the girl partner.
That's what she... I'm paraphrasing her email.
I hope so.
Okay.
But she did want me to bring it up.
What did she say? Her lady parts? What did she
say?
Hold
on. I'll read it verbatim.
The girl part in her got very excited.
Before you read it verbatim.
Okay. What?
LSD means lysergic acid diethylamide.
There you go. So it is acid.
So it's acid.
Okay. She said, great scene. And what about John Slattery's final shot? Pretty nice. Just saying, but I'm a gal.
Yeah.
Smiley face.
But what I thought was also great is he's standing on the chair. I mean, fully.
He's top of the world.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, you know, it wasn't enough to just stand there naked in front of him. He had to be up so he could see. I thought that was great. A little nice thing. But I also thought it was, again, I'm making this reference. I'm not suggesting that they were thinking this, but there was something weird about him being on the chair. We just saw last week the way that Lane killed himself kicking over the chair.
Oh.
And it was like, what? That was odd. Anyway, it freaked me out, but I know I'm the only one who probably went there. So.
Well, and he was also alone.
Yeah.
You know, because he wanted to do it with Marie, and she obviously left by that point.
Right. So do you think he had dropped it, or do you think he was just dropping his drawers? Did he drop acid, or did he just drop his drawers?
You think he was tripping again?
Yeah, that's right.
I think he was tripping.
You think he was tripping? What do you think? Do you think he just did it just because, hey?
I think his one trip probably transformed him, changed his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it?
Even though last week you said it wore off and it's like he's still looking for it again, he wants another one?
I think most people who have done acid changed their life. I mean, I wouldn't know. Yeah. But
it also goes back to, I mean, Roger was in the room when Don pitched it last week of like, we always want more and more.
Right.
You know, you're never satisfied.
Mm-hmm. And he's clearly a guy who's never satisfied.
No.
He always wants more and more. I'm not suggesting that he did drop acid here. I think he just did this just because what the hell? Because it's something we do. But he will drop acid again. Whether he did it here, it's fine. I would completely believe that he would, but I don't think he did. But if he hasn't done it then, he will again. Because I think he really wants another. I think he once he had that hit,
he wants
because
that part of him that knows that what he's doing now is empty and meaningless is looking for something religious, something with an epiphany, something just to give his life some sort of meaning because it's pretty shallow. There's not a lot of depth to it, so I think he's looking for anything like that. Any agreement? No,
thoughts? I agree.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, no, I think he is. He's just enjoying life.
Yeah.
Just taking whatever he can have.
Yeah. He's so cool with it, too.
So cool.
Isn't he cool?
It's just, John Slattery is so awesome. He's just amazing, and okay. He's so funny.
Okay, but would you want to be in a relationship with him?
No.
Okay, there you go. Just curious. All right, good. All right, just checking.
I played his ex-wife on Desperate Housewives.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right. Well, why did you break up? What happened?
I don't know.
They didn't give us that backstory.
Well, yeah. If you want to tie back in, you know, him and Pete have always kind of been at odds, specifically this season. But, you know, the Pete talking about how you know, I want to at this age feel like I know something that the young kids don't.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what Roger's really in search of. Because he's not young. And Pete's certainly taken over. And so he wants that feeling of like, okay, you know what? I'm not completely useless.
Oh, you're saying Roger's feeling this way too.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they all are. They're all, so much of them, they're already feeling their mortality. They're losing their virility. They're all kinds of like, what are you so nervous about?
Right.
They have no idea. They have so much to live for, and they can't see any of it.
Yeah.
It's like, would you shut up? Sometimes I'm thinking, would you look at all the stuff around you, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so Roger's wake-up call was Lane's death. But
yeah.
But Pete's wake-up call is actually...
Is her death of the Phantom Woman.
Right.
Because when he says, and by the way, the way Pete says to her, it was nice meeting you, I would say, oh, because he's saying goodbye.
Yeah.
That's the way you say a nice meeting to somebody who you know you're never going to see again. Because
right.
The woman he knew is no more.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she gets her memory back, that idea he had of her is gone. Because, she's gone.
She is.
Mm.
It's
nice to meet you. I couldn't believe the whole half the show. I'm going, oh, and I was saying it out loud. I was like, oh, poor Pete. All right. Well, let's see. What else? We went off crazy. We were talking about Roger. All right. So,
I think I've said enough about Roger.
Yeah, I'm good on Roger. I think that was good. I like the montage at the end with him standing there butt naked. I wonder if you know, because I often wonder if they go, hey, okay, we want you on a chair, we want you naked. And do they go, yeah, okay, cool. Or do they go, I'm not sure I want to do it. Or they go, yeah. You know, I wonder how many of them have an issue with that.
I bet he was fine with it.
I'm guessing he probably was. He probably goes, yeah, that sounds good. Who knows if he came up with it? How about if I'm, you know.
How about if I'm completely naked?
Exactly. I'll drop everything. Yeah, that's good. I'll full frontal if you want. We're ready to go. Just pixelate.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think, I mean, in terms
I'm no Michael Fassbender, but I'll do it.
I mean, John's directed a few episodes, and I think he knows this world, and he knows, I think he knew, like, the fact that we're talking about it so much, he knew it would be an iconic moment.
Yeah.
You know, and character-wise.
But here's the whole thing, the Easter thing, there it is. That's what I'm going, okay, there is that his resurrection, his coming, you know, coming back?
Well,
after 3 days?
He's naked, so there's, you know... Yeah. He is revealed. He is. That's him. You know, there's nothing between him and us.
It would be really interesting to see how, because I would love to see them take Roger in some different area, some really pushing that boundary, because I love him in this side, but it would be really interesting if we saw him on the other side of that, where he's really looking for that spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like our friend Michael Glass and his character, which was just... I'm sorry, we're going off topic. I went off topic, my bad. So you can get me for that. All right, so
I can't find the bumper. So
thank you. I'm glad. There's usually a bumper. All right, so shall we move on? We got to talk about. Oh, by the way, speaking of our friends, we want to make sure do we have the name of the gentleman?
Well, yes, Ben. You want to bring up the photo? We have a photo that was sent in by a fan. And I'm going to look up his name.
Yeah. First of all, thank you to all those people who have you know, downloaded the podcasts and after shows, and who have rated and commented on us. We appreciate that so much. And here's one of the ones we got today. For those of you who are just listening on the screen, we're showing a drawing that somebody drew last week in honor of Lane and his unfortunate demise. He's a friend of the show, not only of Mad Men, but of this after show, and he just really likes.
Wow.
Ben, so do we have
this? Is what he drew.
Great drawing.
Yeah. I thought it was, and he sent it to us just to, you know, thank us for you know, doing the after shows, and
that's so
it was,
nice.
Yeah, it was. I was going, look at this guy. That's great.
Yeah.
We got to say, we got to say who this is, because I feel horrible if we don't name him.
I'll certainly find it before the break is over.
So anyway, but again, thank you for all those. You know, go to iTunes. You can download everything there, and make sure you rate and comment on us. That helps us with the tracking, and tell a friend, because that's all we ask. do so. All right, so now we're going to move on. While Phil does that, we're going to move on to talk about the company and how their revenues are up. Ad revenues are what? 34% their profit, or they said revenue, so let's just keep it at that. The revenue is up 34%. They're looking to expand. They're going to go
new
up.
Office
they're
space.
Moving up. Interesting, mm-hmm. interestingly enough. So they're moving up. And that whole meeting at the front, with the partners and trying to discuss. Oh, but before that, even when she's in the elevator with Henry. And, you know, she can't go up to the higher floors because right. they can't let it out yet. And Henry's like, very noisy. Oh, no. Be very cagey about the whole thing. And I was wondering, why are they doing that? Because they haven't decided what they're going to do with everything? Why are they being so cagey with it?
Well, they haven't even really revealed what happened. You know, it's not a good thing.
Revealed? What do you, mean? What part?
Lane, I mean,
they know because they talked about having a memorial. Everybody knows that he's not there anymore.
Well,
because they sent everybody home.
They know he's dead, but they don't know what really happened.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to tell anybody.
Well, because Henry was saying, you know, the rumors and that
part of it. Yeah,
yeah.
But what were they talking about? Was it just the rumors about Lane?
Yeah, his death.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. I honestly wasn't sure what he was talking about because it happened so fast, and I was writing something down at the time. And we didn't go back over it because I thought one of the things he was talking about rumors was the rumors about her.
Oh, about
how she got her partnership.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I thought he meant.
See, exactly.
All right. Well, maybe I'm overruled.
No, I mean,
well,
that's what I thought.
It could be one of those things.
Yeah, it could have been both.
Where it's multiple things.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, ooh, damn, that's mm-hmm. already getting out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez, you know, we didn't even talk about that. What did you think about that? You're a big fan of Joan.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So were you like, yeah. Well, I mean, what did you think of that decision?
Yeah. It was interesting because I realized that she made that decision because she did it for herself and for her child.
Sure.
She can raise this child and have enough money to do it and mm-hmm. not have to be dependent on on anyone else to support her.
Exactly. And the fact that that's one of the very few choices that she can make then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The worst was it was a decision. It was a suggestion given to her by Lane. And speaking of Lane, it is the photo is by G.P. Watson.
G.P. Watson. So thank you, G.P. Watson, for the picture and the drawing. By the way, very talented. Nice drawing. So we appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, this is actually very cool. And just going off subject about, how just fan-wise, this was pretty cool. Myself, John, and Kevin were in New York, and we were in Brooklyn, and we got a tweet later on saying that, hey, I saw John and Kevin from the Mad Men after show, and they passed by me. That was
what?
Cool. Yes.
One of our fans in New York?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Yes. So Antonio, I believe,
is
his name.
How odd
Antonio,
is that?
You get a shout-out as well.
How nice. Odd is that? Why didn't they stop and say hi?
He got scared, I think.
Yeah, but Antonio, I'm scary. I'm a real threatening guy.
But see, you know, so if you guys interact with us, we will interact right back, and
let us know. Call us up. Okay.
You know, so we got a year before the next season, so we'll gladly talk more.
I'm so sad.
It's true.
I know. It's like,
it's always sucks.
Really going to have to wait that long? All right. But where are we going? Okay, so Lane, the tragic thing Joan is talking to Dawn and she's saying how she's feeling like horrible because she might have been able to prevent this. If I had only done what he'd asked, and what did
there's
he want?
This tragic moment, and then they make humor out of it.
And it's just the look on her face is like,
duh.
Oh my God. What does everybody want with Joan? they make a joke out of it. I'm going, walking that nice fine edge. My God. And he's so blasé. Okay, whatever. And moving on.
Well, because I think he was like that because he ultimately, whatever that was, he feels
got to be just insanely overwhelming.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why it's interesting that it's the two of them because they're feeling obviously the most responsible mm-hmm. for Lane.
And they are.
Yeah. That's true.
In their minds, anyway. Narcissists that they are.
Well, Don certainly is.
Well, it had a little to do with the fact that Lane put himself in that position.
But...
Yeah,
but he was embezzling.
He was embezzling, but listen,
committing fraud,
but he was gonna pay it back.
Yeah, and, road to hell.
And Don is not exactly innocent of
not at all,
lying.
Not at all. But again, I'm still in hold. I don't think Dodd did anything wrong. I think he did the exact right thing. He had to fire the guy. He gave them the out. He said, "Look, take the weekend, figure it out." Lane could have made a very elegant getaway, and chose not to.
But here's the thing, and you know, we were questioning and looking back on it, I am ashamed that we questioned Lane's character of what he was going to do with the if he was going to write a big FU with the letter and all that. But we find out that he's actually helping the company through his death.
Well, they all did. They all had to have those policies. It's not like he did anything more than anybody else. They all had the policies. That was required. So he really didn't do anything. And by the way, there are some that argue, and myself included, that the letter was a big F you. He killed himself in the office.
He couldn't kill himself anywhere else.
Well, that's true, because he's doing it with a jag. So, but you could have done it anywhere. But no, he just, I mean, that is an act in and of itself. So I'm going to do it right here in front of everybody. And by the way, you're going to have to shove my door open to get to it. That is a statement. And it's a very passive-aggressive one. It's very Lane. No? You're not buying this. You're not agreeing with this. Well, then go ahead. What was your feeling on it?
Well, I just don't think that he had a choice. He felt like his life was over. He couldn't go home. He couldn't tell his wife what happened. He felt like it was complete failure, that he'd done everything wrong business-wise. Mm-hmm. And even Joan rejected him.
Right.
He had nowhere else to turn.
No, I'm not. I don't disagree with that part, but the fact that he did it where he did it, he could have killed himself anywhere, but he chose that. Because I think it was a F you to Don, and it's like, okay, fine. You put me in this position, now you deal with the consequences.
Well, I think it was an F you to Don, honestly, the company. And because at the end of the day, here's what, you know, despite, okay, yeah, he embezzled. But at the end of the day, he always had the company's best interest in mind.
No, he really didn't. He had his own interest in mind.
But he was trying.
He can't be an FU to someone else.
They all are. Yes, he's desperate. Yes, he thinks he has no other choices. But he does. There are tons of choices he could make. He chose the one that easiest for him. He didn't. You know, I mean, there.
But in the words of Roger, you have to know that you're going to a much better place to be able to do that.
To what? To commit suicide?
Yes.
Well, but that's Roger's idea. I don't think Lane committed suicide because he thought he was going to go to a better place. I think he did it because he thought the place here was desolate. There's no hope here. And not that it was a better place there, but I can't stand this place. But I don't think it was because he's hoping for a better place there. That's a difference.
Well,
to me it is anyway. Other people might have a different opinion.
Clearly we do.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Well, are we talking? Should we talk about Adam then?
Oh yeah, Adam.
Yes, let's move into that. Speaking of suicides,
here we go back.
What a segue! Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It was very, very.
Well, I'm surprised. I'm surprised we didn't bring it up last time, and obviously it's a lot more apparent in this episode.
You know, not only that, but I think we were so stricken by the fact that because I didn't see it coming. I mean, I did in the sense that I knew that something bad was going to happen, but I didn't think he was going to hang himself in the office, and I had no idea that it would, you know, parallel Adam.
Yes.
Just didn't even occur to me last because I was just like, I couldn't believe.
Well, it was, you know, because the one thing we did talk about was, you know, when Lane and Don had their meeting, it was the one-on-one, and he said, you know, I know about starting over and things like that.
Right.
And so obviously he was speaking to the fact of himself as Dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so
which, by the way, is an appropriate name for him.
He is quite a dick, isn't he? But obviously today, you know, in today's episode, things were much more on the head.
Because we're at the finale, you kind of, some of them you don't want to have these lingering.
Let's wrap these things
exactly.
up.
Exactly. There are a few that they left, which is perfect, mm-hmm. which we'll get to in a second. But
yes, in terms of the brother, you know, he kind of was also seeking something of Don, and Don basically rejected him.
As he rejected Lane, this is the parallel you're making?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Don has learned nothing then.
Don has learned nothing, and hopefully
he
now
made
he
that
will.
Mistake again, mm-hmm. right?
But was it? Don't you find it interesting that he just started? You know, got the tooth, and there's something inside him that's painful, and he's
there's
not
a
dealing
tooth.
With it. I'm not mm-hmm. dealing with it. It'll get better. Yeah. And then I thought it was interesting that the first time he sees him is the elevator situation, and the last time the elevator was a big issue to him is when that door's opened up,
right?
And there's just the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. They specifically chose the elevator the first time they saw it. I just think they're hearkening back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And seeing him again later on, just working in the office.
Well, that was Lane's office.
Right. Yeah. I think so. I'm not sure. Right? I'm not sure.
That was...
Wait a minute. Which one is Lane's office?
The next time we saw Adam in the office, working in the office.
Oh.
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't...
Right. I think so. Mm-hmm. I am 95% sure.
Right.
The 5% that I'm wrong?
Yeah. I'm sure those of you out there will let us know.
And Adam is another phantom.
Yes. Yes. Again, another phantom. Thank you. Absolutely. Mm. And then, of course, culminating in the dentist chair when he gets that thing removed. That was really eerie. The nice makeup job on the neck and stuff. Was like,
yeah, I mean, that was neck. The rope.
Yeah, yeah, no.
That was awesome.
It got a little. And then it was even worse at the end with the tooth.
The tooth was really disgusting.
With the red and you could still see the little.
And that was a big accent. Tooth.
That was a big ding.
So that, but
interesting. So, but they specifically showed it. I mean, because they could have easily done that scene and ended that scene without showing it. So why?
So the bad tooth was extracted.
Extracted. Was it just because you saw the red of the blood? What was the, just so we go? Oh,
it was a horrific,
shocking. All right.
Yeah, and that, and again, the fact that it was that big. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a symbol of, you know, how terrible it was. Yeah.
That it went that deep.
Ooh. Yes. Mm. There you go.
You have to get to the root of it. Nobody. Nothing. Okay. All right. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Way to be on top of that, Ben.
Right. Ben's still young. He's learning.
Yeah. Apparently so am I. So, but that was pretty, the gas was nice though, wasn't it? Didn't you? I thought that looked as weird to me as thinking about
the shock.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, that so looked barbaric, right. And bring out the leeches and, you know, mm-hmm. whatever else they're doing. That just looked weird. Yeah. So.
And Don's hair was kind of frizzled because of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Looked great. Nice editing, though. They just kept on him, and they just brought the guy in. That was nice. I like that. So they just stayed on him. So it was nice. So poor Adam. What was the lines he said? I couldn't remember.
The fact that he's always going to be there.
Don't leave me. I'll be hanging around.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. More humor. Yeah.
And I really liked how, you know, after I killed myself or whatever it was, you know, I got fired. Yeah. Like, okay, that's great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, do you think he was saying that just as a thing to Lane?
Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Yeah. So, all right. So, all right. What else are we going to say about Joan? Oh, what do we think about the new digs that they're going upstairs? Again, we see the red. I mean, everybody else in gray.
There was a lot of red.
Peggy and her nice red. I mean, that was center frame. Yeah, and then the very next scene, they do the parallel. Megan's wearing the red with the yellow, so she's not quite devil or whatever it's representing for them, that symbology there. But I thought that shot, the nice iconic wide shot of everybody standing before their windows.
Yeah. And the fact that there can only be five. No, well, there used to be five partners with Lane, and then
the quickening or something. There can only be five.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Right. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, no, it was
so
nice.
Joan did it. It was Joan. That's how she got her partnership. She wanted him out.
No, and also that, you know, they're all picking out their offices and they're separating themselves from, quote, the cattle underneath. Yeah. You know, because Rogers certainly joked about it, how there needs to be an executive elevator. Well, now they don't have an elevator per se, but they have an office.
Stairway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pete's, hey, I have the same view as you, Don, which was, it was a throwaway, but that's, it is. I mean, he does have the same view. I mean, the parallel there. Anyway, I don't want to get into that because I don't really have any more than that about it. It was just like, God, it was kind of sickening to me.
It was.
All right. So, but I think we've got the company taken care of. So,
except for. Well, one quick thing that we should talk about. Well, actually, kind of segues into Peggy, unless I'm cutting you off.
I was going to say Peggy.
All right, let's deal with Peggy then.
Well, this is a segue into Peggy. You know, you had Ginsburg.
Ginsburg, yeah,
kicking a chair because he's mad.
Oh yeah, they were all very angst-ridden in that office in that meeting about
the
topaz.
Pantyhose? Yeah,
was it pantyhose? I'm sorry.
Isn't that what it is? Topaz, pantyhose.
We're guys here.
They said topaz, the thing
that's why he got upset, because he felt like the guys didn't understand it. He wanted the woman's opinion. He wanted Peggy.
Yeah.
Now that she's gone.
Exactly. Well, the only topaz I knew was a topaz car. I'm going, what? Is you in a car? I didn't get it. I didn't see the poster. Anyway, so I'm moving on.
What sucks is that, you know, he was building up Megan to be his second in charge. Then he had Peggy, and then obviously he just went wrong with both of them.
All those, and then all those are phantoms too, because of what he wants these women to be in his life, and they're not that. Because even Joan is not who he wants her to be. Because once she made that decision, he was. So
what are your thoughts on Peggy?
I'm really curious what's going to happen with Peggy because you know she's finally taken this step and moved on. And
but don't you think it's interesting how you know she's saying like, hey, you know, you were supposed to give me 125 words, 15 of which were Ajax, and they couldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah, but they also it also showed her really okay. These guys are working for me. Not like the other one where they're sharing an office and they're, you know, no, they clearly are working for her. I thought that was an interesting step.
And she seemed frustrated because they're not as good as
nowhere near
what she's used to.
Exactly. So you know she's going to have to do more work rather than
But
she'll come back.
She will. She's always
an interesting parallel. She's starting off with the cigarettes, which, you know, season one, episode one was Don figuring out how to do cigarettes.
All right. Oh. And screwing it up because they do the whole Lucky Strike ad.
Mm-hmm. Well, eventually, that was
But that's what I mean. Yeah, that's true. But that's I thought that was a comment because they were speaking about that in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go on. I interrupted.
That was good.
No, that's what I was going to say. You know, she's kind of quote the new Don and things like that. Right. And so she's that's what she's starting off with. And she has a nice dig at Don. You know, like I'm flying off to Richmond. And he's like, Richmond's nice. She's like, not as nice as Paris.
So, by the way, she said Virginia. And the only reason why I'm pointing that out is I'm assuming they're talking about Virginia Slims, the cigarettes, because I think that's about the time those things came into being. I'm wondering if she's going to come up with the ad campaign for Virginia Slims. She's a woman.
And when they presented it to her, they said, you do smoke.
Exactly.
This is a new cigarette that's made specifically for women.
I don't smoke.
It has to be Virginia Slims.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right on.
So, what about their little meeting in the theater? We a little talked about it a little bit, but you know, it was kind of a parallel with the Joan and with the Jaguar thing. That kind of scene they had. I don't know if you recall that in a couple of episodes ago.
Scene in the bar.
Yeah,
yeah.
There was that moment there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really misses her. I think he really, really wanted her.
Yeah, these are two women that he really appreciates. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that he. You know, he realizes that he helped her.
Yeah.
He helped Peggy.
And I think there's a pride there about that she moved on and that she had the chutzpah to just go.
Right. Well, and it was important that she pointed out to him that this is what you would do.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know,
so you can't argue with that.
And he would. And she says, you know, put me in your Rolodex. I mean, you know, it's not like we can't talk, but he won't.
He's not
one to do that.
But I think, he may revisit it. I mean, you know, he said, name your price.
Yeah.
Name your price, and then I'll go even higher than that.
Yeah. He tried to buy everything that day.
No. Yeah, but he couldn't.
Just
couldn't. It wasn't for sale.
So, and then, we got to talk Don and Lane's wife. Ouch.
Oh.
Going to Lane's wife and giving her the insurance policy or a portion of the insurance policy. And by the way, it was $175,000. $50,000 went back to the company. He gave her $50,000. Where's the rest of it? Just curious. Just
new
wondering.
Offices, the new digs.
New digs?
Yeah. All right.
Bonuses, maybe?
Yeah.
Finally.
But don't you think that's interesting?
Ironically, that would have been the nice thing to do if everyone's getting Easter bonuses.
Yeah, Lane, you finally get your bonus. Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay, what do we think of that scene? A little chilly.
Yeah.
I think it was a nice wake-up call for Don.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're trying to do this, and, you know, you're the only one you're helping yourself is you.
Yeah. And he often doesn't get this from anybody. Nobody really talks to him like this, which is great.
Especially not women.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, she's the perfect person to do it because she's seen through all of it. And we finally, by the way, the picture of the woman from the wallet makes its way back into the series, which is a very... You know, it was a nice little wrap up, but I wanted them to use that a little earlier, but at least they brought it back here, so that was nice.
And you know, I mean, she's basically saying you corrupted him. And while he didn't corrupt him in that sense,
no.
He certainly did corrupt him.
You think that Don's responsible for his corruption?
I think
So Lane is innocent? Lane's a nice guy, but everybody thinks because he's a nice guy, he's innocent in this. He made those choices.
He was trying to help the company.
Trying to help? No, he was trying to pay his taxes. He wasn't trying to help the company.
But before that, the reason why he's in that position was because he made a dumb choice in helping the company.
He made a dumb choice.
By giving the money to the company, that was how he got into that situation in the first place?
Yes.
Right.
And Don didn't do that. Don gave some money.
I don't care. He made the dumb choice.
All right.
How is Don responsible for his dumb choice?
All right, capitalist pig.
I don't
have a callback anymore. I don't know, because you're... I don't know.
Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject.
Yeah, that's John. John's wandered off subject.
I'm a capitalist pig. I can go wherever I want. Okay. All right. Well, what was... Oh, okay. So Don finally sees... Hasn't seen Megan's reel? Did she not show it to him all this time? Did he just not take an interest? Or what's the deal?
Well, she just shot it.
It's been a week. It's kind of secret, right? She was trying to cover it up when he came in?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going, why, you know, and I'm sure that's what Mom was referring to, is that you shouldn't hide things from your husband. But I would have thought he, you know, if he was really interested, or if he was, he would have wanted to see that.
He has no interest.
No.
I know, but that's...
He doesn't want her to succeed.
I know, but, you know, it's like, come on, he keeps trying. I mean, but then he gets to the gig.
Yeah.
So he can't say he doesn't want her to succeed.
And then where does he go?
Well, that's true.
He leaves the room and there is no door. It's a set.
That's right.
There are no doors.
Ooh.
And there was no door when
good
he walked.
Good call.
There was no door when he walked to the bar.
Wasn't that a great show? That was so.
That was such a film noir shot.
That's what I'm saying. It's a film noir shot.
Great.
The music and the, you know, You Only Did Twice, the Bond theme. That was just a great shot. Just a great shot.
And,
then going right to the bar, right, and he's looking Bond like crazy.
And the commercial's Beauty and the
Thought,
Beast.
I thought for sure he was going to ask for a martini shake and not stir. I swear to that. Please say that. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, she's playing the Beauty.
Yeah,
and it's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
and so is he the
Beast? He's the Beast. Yes, he's the Beast.
There you go.
Or capitalism is, you pig.
Yes.
So.
And then
we never got to see the Beast.
I think so it's the Beast within.
Mm-hmm. And he lights the woman's cigarette,
right,
which for, you know, in terms of the Peggy storyline, she's supposed to light her own cigarette,
mm-hmm,
right? But he's lighting hers.
Yes.
So what do we think? We'll have to leave that predictions.
Well, but love is a stranger.
But why do you think he got her the gig? Because obviously when he was looking at that, when he was looking at her reel, I mean, the way he looked at her, I think he was looking at her like, you know, I love her.
Good.
She's good. She's beautiful. I love her. Oh, so you thought it was just about the business and that she's perfect.
No,
okay.
I think even though he knows that he there's a part of him that doesn't want to help her.
Right.
He wants her to be happy. He really does love her.
Yeah.
And he wants her to be happy, but he's risking losing her.
Yeah. Because when they get successful, they leave. If they don't need you anymore, they don't need you anymore.
Yeah. She's going to be going to
see,
Hollywood.
See, this is what do I say?
Dames is trouble.
There you go. Dames is trouble.
This is not true.
Right. But it was a fabulous, great shot. No, that last look on his face, well, we'll talk about in predictions, but that's a great, that's a mm-hmm, nice little cliffhanger. It's a ditty. Mm-hmm. Did he not? Did he? Mm-hmm. By the way, there were two of them.
Yeah. There were.
And the brunette was kind of like, blonde and a brunette.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Betty.
No redhead.
No redhead.
Nobody wants redhead.
They made a comment about the redhead. Everybody, yeah. Everybody
really?
Can be a redhead.
Really? who said doors open and I just want to walk through them?
Right. I did write that down.
Was that Beth?
Beth line.
Doors open and I just want to walk through them.
Yeah, there were so many doors flying.
I love
editing
doors.
On all those. It's like, whoa, okay, all right, I'm watching. I got it.
Yes, Beth
scene
did say
one,
that.
A door opens.
And a door closes. End scene.
Well, speaking of ending scene, should we...
We got to move on to... Yeah, please, Ben, if you would, we'll go on to commercial. And we'll come back with our special segment with Chow. And then we'll do predictions. And then what else we got?
We've also got some news.
That's right. Oh, so, Ben, please take us to our first break.
Hey, guys. What's happening? We are the America's Best Dance Crew ABDC After Show coming to you guys. We watch the show every week just like you, and we go every Friday to the set to interview and talk to the crews behind the scenes and let you know what is happening behind the scenes.
Hey guys, I'm AJ Gibson here with my lovely co-host. Pleasure to introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Kaori Take.
Hi, I'm Kira Bente.
And we cover America's Got Talent every single Monday night for AfterBuzz TV. We're not exactly judges, but we have no problem judging.
We're crafty enough.
Yeah, we are crafts. We're crafts. We're not shy at all. So you guys check us out every Monday, 9 o'clock. Like us on iTunes. Let us know what you guys think. And we'll keep doing this for you every single week. We love you guys. We're here for you.
After Buzz TV, what do you want to buzz about?
All right, and we're back. Oh, the first thing I have to do is apologize because the idiot that I am, I've been mispronouncing Challen's name. I've been saying Challen because I'm an idiot. Nobody corrected me. Thank you, Phil. I'm going to throw him under the bus with me. But I, my apologies.
You're the wrong tooth that needs to be removed.
That's true. So for all those who have already written in to remind me of how stupid I am, you need not worry about that. I have been reminded. So thank you very much indeed for that. Challen, let's talk about you, shall we?
By the way, I have to say this. A photographer here at AfterBuzz TV, Elise Donahue, who also took she's a photographer for our own Maria Menounos, and her kids love your show.
And yeah,
she
that's
wanted
true.
Me to say that.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah, she was talking to me about it. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
They go
great.
Crazy.
And the show of which I speak again is Big Time Rush.
Yes.
On Nickelodeon.
So, aww, see absolutely. That makes me feel good. Thank you for telling me that.
We gotta get. We'll take. We'll get you to sign a picture for them.
Okay.
Because they're really huge fans. They're 1'7", 1'10", I believe.
Over the moon. Over the moon.
So tell us about the show for the Madman listeners that we have. What is your show about? I know it's about kids in a band trying to make it.
It's about four boys in a band, mm-hmm. and they get an opportunity to move from Minneapolis to L.A. to become the next hot boy band, and so they do, and then it happens, and they become successful, and the Big Time Rush is also actually a real band, and they've toured a couple of times, and they have two albums, and they're going to do a third tour this summer. While we go on hiatus, and so the show actually sort of follows, you know, everything that's happening with them.
And you play the mother of Kendall, the main character, right?
Yes, the lead singer in the band.
The lead singer,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yes.
And what's their dynamic like?
What is their dynamic like?
Yeah, the you know, well, A, with you and him, and B, the just the boys in general.
Well, the show is it's kind of like the Monkees. It's very it's big comedy, and the four guys are all they have great chemistry together, and they're really fun, great guys. We have a lot of fun. It's a crazy show. It's a crazy set.
Fair enough.
Do we ask about pranks that happen on this episode? No, we can't. Okay, we don't want to say anything.
No pranks.
Pranks?
And you guys have... So how does it work? You guys have done 5 movies for the show, right?
Yeah, I guess we have. Yeah. Well,
there's Big Time Audition. There's...
Yeah.
I'll look up all of them. How does it work? How many seasons have you had, and then how do the movies fit in?
We're in the middle of not even the middle. We're almost finished with season 3, and hopefully there'll be a season 4. But yeah, we did the one that I guess I consider a movie was Big Time Movie.
So that's the latest one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's been Big Time Audition, Big Time Concert, Big Time Christmas, Big Time Beach Party, and then Big Time Movie.
Wow. That's good.
I did my research. I did my research.
At least somebody did.
So when is season 3 premiering?
Season 3 premieres June 25th. It's a Monday. And some Mondays will be Big Time Monday.
Big Time Monday. And what
Big
time?
Mondays. That's probably something I should know. Maybe 8?
Maybe.
We'll go with that. That sounds good. I like
8.
Maybe 8. Check your local listings. How about that? We'll make you work for it. And then you also, John, you mentioned the whole gamut of other TV shows that she's
been on. I was wondering, do you have time? Can you talk about your executive producing? And do you want to? Or do you want to talk about the family business?
I know. I was going to say the kids show and wine.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to make a connection, but...
They go together so well. Yeah.
Well, if it was Europe, it would go great.
I know. Yeah, so my family has a winery called Tantera Winery.
Which they would find
it's in
Sonoma?
It's in the Central Coast.
Central Coast, okay.
Santa Maria.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're a boutique winery, mm-hmm. and we specialize in Pinot Noir. We do 12 different single vineyard Pinots.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. And is this the right terminology? How many cases?
We do about 7,000 cases.
Wow.
And we do Pinot and Chardonnay.
Nice. And where would we find these other than to come to the Tantara Wine? Winery.
Well, yes, you can get it at TantaraWinery.com.
Yeah, see, can you go through Amazon? Okay, go ahead.
Do we have an Amazon deal yet?
I don't know. I have to figure that out.
You guys should get one. My God, that would be great for you. Anyway, so.
You can. It's in lots of wine shops and
nice.
Restaurants.
Okay.
Now, one second. I'm gonna
only
stop.
The finest.
How do they spell it? We have a lot of audio listeners, so how do they, what do they type?
TANTARA.
.com. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And anything else? Let's see. What else do we
want? I'm just excited to know that everybody wants a redhead.
You can get Tantara wine on Amazon.
Look at that.
Nice.
So
really?
I just ordered a.
Well, you can't order it.
With Phil's credit card.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. That's
I hope
great.
You went through. So here's what we're going to do. If you want this
fantastic.
Wine,
yes.
Go through AfterBuzzTV.com, click that Amazon banner, then buy yourself some wine.
Some Tantara wine. That's some Pinot.
That
some,
is so cool.
Absolutely. Get 7,000 cases.
7,000 cases.
Why not?
Good.
There you go.
You know? And let it age. So.
All right.
So what else we want to talk about? Anything else you want to talk about?
I want to talk about our predictions for the...
Oh, okay. All right. We'll move on.
Well, one last thing.
Oh,
what do we got? Where do they find you on Twitter or anything?
Oh, Twitter. At Follow Shallon.
@FollowShallon. That's yes. Challen. And
correct.
Follow, you better know how to spell follow people. Come on.
Yeah. Then you better know how to pronounce Shallon at this point.
Yes. All right, Ben, hit us to news and then we'll do predictions.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so this is all kind of relating to the season finale, okay. Obviously. So Megan's character, Jessica, as she is known in real life, she was asked, did you have any idea that when you joined the show that you would become such a breakout character? And she said, oh God, no, absolutely not. I mean, as a fan of the show, I'm sure you know that there are a lot of secretary characters that don't ever come to the forefront or have a storyline of their own necessarily. When I first auditioned, I used scenes from previous seasons. So I had no concept of what she was like at all, never mind what her arc would be. So it was, well, excuse my profanity, it was fucking shocking.
Whoa!
She said, excuse my profanity. I'm just reading what I have.
Wow.
What do you guys thought? I mean, she did great. She did great this season.
I think so.
Yeah, she was amazing. Yeah, I wondered that myself. I wondered if they knew all along
that they were
what they were going to do with her character, or mm-hmm. if they just liked her so much that they said, oh no, we have to.
I think it all started from the song.
The song?
The Zibby Zibby
Zibby Zibby.
So great.
The song that launched 1,000 ships?
Yeah, that was it.
Still talk to this day. Mad Men creator Matthew Weiner has responded to complaints that his show does not deal with the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
The current season of the show, set in 1966, recently introduced a new character named Don, played by black actress. Oh God, I'm going to butcher this name.
Well, that's all right. We've already done that.
Miss Paris.
That's okay.
Tayona.
Tayona Paris. However, despite a brief storyline early on, the character has been little used. In an interview with Los Angeles Times, Weiner has fought back against critics accusing him of neglecting black characters on the show. He said, I feel the expectation that introducing a black character means you have to tell the civil rights struggle in a way racist. I use her character the same way I use all the characters on the show. She is there. I'm sorry if people were disappointed. Do I regret there wasn't more of it? Yeah. All I can say is it's early. We have 26 episodes left. Ooh, spoiler alert.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Well, I don't feel like in the history of the United States that 1906 was the year of civil rights. It's early. So, there you go.
Okay.
And then on the same night that Mad Men would serve up its final episode of the fifth season, creator Matt Weiner and his AMC cast members gathered at the TV Academy to reminisce about a batch of episodes that touched on themes of love, betrayal, success, indecency, and suicide. Seated on stage following a screening of the episode were Jessica Paré, who plays Megan, January Jones, who plays Betty, Christina Hendricks, who of course plays Jones, Kiernan Shipka, who plays the young Sally, John Slattery, who plays Roger, Vincent Carthazer, right? That's how you say it.
Don't look at me, man.
I am butchering, who of course plays Pete and Weiner. Elizabeth Moss, who plays Peggy, was there. And they were working over. Elizabeth Moss and Jared Harris and star John Hann are overseas, therefore could not make it. The 4-hour-plus conversation ranged in topic from Lane's disturbing departure to Joan's controversial decision to Pete struggling with success. I'm sure you can find some of that on AMC.com. AMC TV, right? TV.com.
Yes. I have no idea. I'm not on the net. I don't know the interweb.
No, but they do have a lot of great things on the AMC website for that stuff. So you can check that out. And of course, there's everyone kind of talking about the season in retrospect that's everywhere. So, you know, if you want more of that stuff, check it out.
Okay, the only thing I'm interested in now is Shallon's predictions for the future.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Did he go with them or not?
I don't think he goes with them.
Oh, okay. But do you think maybe one?
No, I think he probably he turns them down, but I think there will be another one.
In the season somewhere along.
Yeah. So,
okay. Is it gonna be a redhead?
Yeah, of course.
That's what we have.
Who doesn't want a redhead? Jeez.
Well, he needs something else. Yeah. He's not a blonde and a brunette.
That's right. And Jones, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this while we have you. Do you think there is a Don type where it's the model who's trying to make it, but
because
that's what Jones,
right.
Joan brought
Jones
that up.
Says, you know, that's how he met Betty. She was a model on one of the shows.
Yeah.
That's a really good Joan. Nice.
Yeah, well, but Megan and Betty are so different. I think that is the only thing that is similar about them is that they're both models.
Yeah.
And I like that Megan is... I mean, she's absolutely gorgeous. She's so beautiful. I love that they talked about her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I don't actually.
She said, well, my teeth, she talks about how her teeth are messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like that she's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She's not like cookie cutter. Because January Jones is so flawlessly beautiful. And then I got off track.
Well, no,
talking
we're just
about
wondering.
These two women.
So, yeah, we'll find out. He will be tempted again, and at some point you think he might.
Again.
Okay.
Especially because Megan probably is going to keep pursuing her acting career.
And probably succeed, and therefore she will...
Leave.
And at least in his mind, she will.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that starts happening, he'll be looking elsewhere because, well, I better get somebody else because I know she's going to be gone.
Right.
Probably? Okay.
There you go. I mean, it's going to be quite interesting. I mean, I think next season is going to be a little bit happier.
What?
We got to make something happen. Someone's got to find some happiness.
Where did that come from?
Happy?
Yeah. Well, stop watching.
We got to find happiness.
No one's going to find happiness. They don't find happiness in this. All they find is dread. They find the abyss. That's it.
I mean, that.
Megan has the perfect life and she's miserable.
Yep. Exactly. There you go.
She could have. They just need to accept that they do have. I think that's everyone of these characters' problem is that the fact that they can't accept that they have a perfect life.
Well, yeah, because they all want something else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can't accept.
Oh, and speaking of which, do we get Ken's father-in-law's account?
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't
remember the pitch that Don made last week.
Oh yeah.
Do we get that account?
Interesting.
Yeah. We get that account.
Yeah.
We get that.
Sure. We're on a roll. Absolutely.
Let's make it happen.
Back. Well, I think they're going to build them up. I think all kinds of success is going to happen so that, you know, outwardly and monetarily, it's like things are going to be great and it's just going to get worse personally.
Could be true.
And then, of course, the last season, everything's going to go down really bad.
How many more seasons do we have?
Well, we got 26 episodes, so two.
Two more seasons.
Two more seasons.
So seven seasons.
And then
a
movie.
That's going to be a long movie.
And here's what I say we should do. Somehow we should kill off Joan because we'll need another redhead. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
So, all right. Well, I got nothing.
I think
that
wraps it up, right?
Good. Thank goodness.
Well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for another season of Mad Men. We want to thank you all for listening, for your comments, for ratings. On behalf of Ben Bottomley, Phil Svitek, Shallon,
At Follow Shallon.
At Follow Shallon.
On Twitter.
And we catch her in when? June 25th?
June 25th, big
at
time.
At 8 o'clock, sometime between 8 and 11, we're guessing.
It's probably a good chance.
Yeah, just watch the whole, you know, 8 to 11. She's there. And Tantara Wine, Amazon.com. Just go buy 7,000 cases of Tantara Wine, all kinds of Pinot, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and we do really thank you for listening to us. And hey, if I was a betting man, I'm betting most of you who like Mad Men probably like Breaking Bad. We will be doing the Breaking Bad after show on AfterBuzz TV, right, John? You look dumbfounded. Why do you look so dumbfounded?
This is my normal face.
Are we really doing this?
This is my normal face.
We are doing.
I thought we were off the air, and I went back to a normal face. I really did.
So. Okay. There we go. Ben's bringing back the Breaking Bad theme song. Right. So, yes, we will be certainly doing that. So, right. July 15th, right. That starts.
It's good. We've run long. We got to go.
Take us
Thank
out.
You. Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.